Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
Welcome to the Worcester Nazarene podcast. We're excited to have you join us this week after an exciting weekend of worship here at Worcester Naz. In the studio today, we have Pastor Andrew.
Hello.
He preached our message this Sunday morning, and we had baptisms. It was an amazing weekend.
Awesome day.
And so we just wanted to recap that a little bit, talk about it, go a little bit deeper into the places that we can.
Sure.
I really appreciated your passion on Sunday. You just came out of the gates with a joke like you normally do.
Sure.
And I appreciated that.
Especially I have more if you want
some. With the screaming goat. Any joke with a screaming goat is
okay,
good by me.
Just real quick about that. I am a little bit of a diva with the handheld mic. They want me to use the headset. I do not like it. But Sunday was a perfect example of why, because I can do the screaming goat coming from far off and bring the mic in and do it out. So that's just, I'm just advocating for myself there a little bit.
The handheld mic is a bit of a tool that a lot of stand-up comedians will use and a lot of public speakers go away from.
Yeah.
I really don't know why. I like to wave my hands around too much to
hold it. I've always preferred it. I don't know. It's just my thing.
Yeah. I love it. You came out and said, asked the question, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? And then went right away into who Jesus said he was. Why did you start there? All of those verses just kind of shaping up the idea of Jesus being the Messiah.
Yeah. I think in our world today, we do so much of this searching and trying to figure out, like, who am I as a person? But we don't ever start with what really matters first. And what I find in truth in the Bible and throughout the course of my life, Jesus is the starting point. And right. So I just wanted to refocus us there instead of going to whatever podcast like we're doing today, as an example, or I'm going to go read this book, or I'm going to watch this YouTube video, I'm going to go find this truth wherever else. I want to say he is the way, the truth, and the life. We've been talking about a lot this last year, but just refocusing us there on Jesus as he is the answer we're looking for, and really helping everybody, myself included, remember, like, this is who Jesus really, not just was, but who he is still today.
And I've even heard on Instagram or YouTube, different places, people saying, well, Jesus never really claimed to be the Son of God or never really claimed to be the Messiah.
Wrong.
You went directly against that and said, yeah, he sat there with the woman at the well and said, I am the Messiah. And right. You were showing some of the spiritual significance of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why was it important to establish Jesus as Messiah when we're asking the question, like, who are you?
Yeah. I think because people are looking for something to save them, maybe from who they actually are, and establishing him as the one. Like, there's still some people in some other religion streams that are still searching for the Messiah to this day. They do not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And we find in the truth of the Bible that he is that. And so just having that very clear, this is him, as I said in the Gen Z terminology, he is him. He is goated. He is the one that we're looking for. That first has to be established before we can ever look at ourselves and say, okay, who am I in comparison to who Jesus is and how can he change my life? He has to be in that place in the first place.
Yeah. Nicodemus also was looking for the Messiah. He's a learned Jewish scholar, and he comes to Jesus under the cover of night, so nobody knows who he is, who he's meeting with, where he's going. And Jesus takes the meeting and decides to sit with him and talk with him. Nicodemus has a lot of questions. You read a large portion of John chapter 3.
On purpose.
to establish that story of Nicodemus and really put us in the story as he's asking the question. How did you find the questions that Nicodemus was asking being similar or different from the questions that people are asking today?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first question he asked when Jesus is saying, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus is like, what do you mean? Like, how is that even possible?
I go back into my mother's womb.
Like, what are you saying? And then Jesus keeps going and explains it more. He's talking about these spiritual things. And Nicodemus again is like, what are you talking about? And I think that question is maybe such a reflection of our culture today. Because, I mean, Nicodemus was coming from this baseline of religion and law, like I talked about on Sunday. But I would say in comparison to our culture today and where a lot of people might be that have not grown up in the church and have no foundation of any of that stuff, it's like you talk about anything spiritual or you say this is about relationship, not religion. They're like, what are you talking about? Like, it's the same question from a different context. And so people today have no framework to even put this around. And so when we talk about like having this relationship with Jesus and he can change your life and living transform and palms up, they're like, these things, I'm not seeing this on my social media. I don't hear this from these people that I follow that are influencers. Like, what are you even talking about? It doesn't connect because there's no foundation.
One thing that came up to my mind as you read John 3:16 again, something that I'd heard recently is one of the most shocking parts of John 3:16 is for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And Nicodemus would have been familiar with the idea of a Jewish king coming and ruling. And it would have been for God so loved his people that he sent his only son, or God so loved Israel. But the shocking part of that God so loved the world and the Messiah was coming for the world. That was a bit, people were taken aback by that. Yeah. And Jesus being that direct and saying, I'm coming for the sake of the world, the whole world, not just fulfilling these promises related to the people of Israel. And I love that. Even when we looked back at some of the passages you pulled from the Old Testament, there was that foreshadowing of he's coming for the whole world.
Yeah. Jesus went on to say this in that passage, those verses after 16, like he didn't come to condemn, but then it goes on to say, as it's talking about this darkness and light thing, it's like he came, yes, for the whole world, and knowing that there would be people that would choose darkness, but yet he still came to give them the opportunity to say yes to him. Like, he knew there was people that would never be in relationship, but he still died to give that opportunity. Like, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah. For those of you that are just getting into John, that darkness and light motif is really big in John. It's there in John chapter 1 and goes through a lot of his book. And you pulled that right out. You said, are you a person of light or are you a person of darkness?
Yeah.
And there's several passages where Jesus gets into that. But in Matthew, he says, Matthew 6:22-24, it says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. Mm. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. And then he goes on to say, no one can serve two masters, for you love the one, hate the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and be enslaved to money at the same time. Coming out of our series where we're discussing generosity and money, I just really thought that idea of thinking you have light and it actually being darkness, being a person of darkness. When you were talking about that, what did you have in mind? You said some people choose darkness, but that was something I had that came to my mind. But.
Yeah. There's so many different examples, but I think a lot of times darkness in our world today is yes, a deliberate choice, but also sometimes it can be this thing where the drift is on, as we've said in the past. Pastor says that a lot. And we find ourselves thinking like, well, I thought I was doing the right things. I thought I was being the right person. Kind of what I was saying a little bit about just like being good and good enough and those types of ideas. And we're thinking that we're living according to our own right way. And then we find out like, oh, this is actually living in the darkness because I'm not living the way that God has created me to live. And it's almost like this confusion. Like sometimes darkness is confusion because we've not had this full surrender to Jesus and this moment in our lives where we give everything to him. So I think that's really, really important. And it goes right into that whole idea of you can't have two different masters. We cannot continue to live life. If we've said yes to Jesus, we cannot continue to live life our own ways, always bending to our own desires and our own wants and the things that we think we need. It cannot always be that and Jesus. It is Jesus plus nothing, right? Right. That's, he is everything.
And it's about choosing a side.
Right.
And you made a very clear presentation of the gospel at the end. And that whole, you can't serve two masters. You can't just sit on the fence. That is a confusing way to live.
Right.
Like, who's in charge of my life? What are my main goals, my main drive in life? What am I about? Who am I? Those kinds of things. You need to choose a side. And that helps in so many ways. At Worcester NAS, we make altar calls frequently. You did one again on Sunday.
Yeah.
Some people would say these are the elementary things of the Christian life. Yes, we should make calls to salvation. Why do you feel like we do that so frequently at Worcester NAS? It happens all the time. Yeah.
I mean, it's the thing. That's why we're here. Why we're doing what we do, for people to have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Yes, we want people to continue to grow in their walk and go deeper and become more and more like Jesus, but people saying yes to Jesus, that's why the church is what it is, right? The church universal, for the gospel to go forth, to preach the good news and to give very clear opportunity. So for us as a church, as a staff of preachers, the preaching team, just making sure that we always have that in our mind. Wherever we're preaching, it should always point back to Jesus, first of all. Right. Like, you know, we make that joke, what are you preaching about Sunday? I'm preaching about Jesus. Like, I'll tell people all the time. Now, this Sunday, that was the main topic, but that always should be underneath everything that we're talking about. And in the light of Jesus is the reason for all of these things, and have you said yes to him? And pastor did this even throughout the generosity series. You did it. If you've not even said yes to Jesus, none of this surrender and priority and God first stuff even makes sense, right, in your life, because you have no context for that. You have no relational connection for it. So that's why we always stress giving people the opportunity to say yes to Jesus, because that's where everything starts. That's where everything changes.
I often think about what somebody goes through in order to first come to church, the social barriers that they feel to coming to church if they're coming for the first time, or they maybe just got invited by a friend and that kind of thing. The least I can do as a speaker on that Sunday is to present the gospel in a clear way that they can understand. I mean, the Lord brought them here. It's incumbent upon us to make that opportunity available for him.
And I would say I want us as a church, as like Worcester and as people, to be thinking even outside of Sunday morning, like, where are we having those opportunities in relational connections? If you want to call it relational evangelism, we did a training on that this summer. Where are you? Where am I? Where are we having those opportunities to have those yes to Jesus moments with people outside of Sunday morning? Because yes, we are going to do it here, but there's so many other opportunities where that could happen, whether that's at work, at a family gathering, like just coming out of Thanksgiving and the blessing season, there might be a cousin that's long lost. You reconnect, and there's maybe an opportunity to invite them into a relationship. Like, don't let those opportunities go by. Yes. Don't just say, go come to church with me. The pastors will do it there, right? Like,
right.
We are the church. We have the same Holy Spirit. You talk about this all the time in basics. Let's let him move and work through our lives. Let's be open and available for those opportunities to happen.
And we do our best to lower those barriers, to make it easy for people to come to church and that kind of thing. But church services are during a specific time, and you're there in the person's life in the middle of the week. Be a minister of the gospel. Right. There is no junior Holy Spirit. You carry the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
And you are a minister of the gospel in the place that God has put you, for a good reason. And you don't need to wait for a pastor to do that. We're not extra special in that regard. You can present Jesus however. We just talked about in the generosity series, the idea that generosity itself is missional. It's evangelistic. It's getting the name of Jesus out there in a way that people are receptive to it. And so that whole thing was really good. I appreciate a clear call to the gospel, but the simple way in which we did it is, like, we can all do that.
Yeah. And it comes back to where we started of, as you come across people in your life where they're like, what are you even talking about? Like, that is a big open door for you to share about your own how Jesus has changed your life, telling some of your story, and then inviting them into that same relationship. So as you're hearing those questions in your life with different people, that can be almost like an open door reminder of like, oh, this is an opportunity to share, and they might be open then to saying yes to Jesus.
Absolutely. At Worcester NAS, we've baptized about 500 people in the last 10 years. Baptism is one of two sacraments that we celebrate in the Nazarene Church, communion and baptism. Why is it so important in the life of a believer to be baptized? We had some people believe for the very first time, and we encourage them to go get baptized right away. Yeah. What's happening there? Why is it so important? Why do we do that so frequently?
I mean, say, first of all, it's just an act of obedience. Jesus pretty much commands it in the New Testament.
Yes,
if you've been saved, get baptized as soon as possible. We saw it modeled by Jesus. He himself submitted to baptism. That was the moment where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were there all together in the New Testament. One of the rare times that happens in context of the scripture. And so Jesus modeled it. He commanded it. But also there's just this incredibly powerful testimony that happens. When you have this life change and you go down underneath that water and you come back up, you're declaring to the world, I am a child of God. This is a big deal. That's to anybody and everybody who's seen you throughout the course of your life saying, man, this person is really different now because Jesus has really changed them. And so it's that public testimony part of it, but also this really clear symbolism of as we go down underneath the waters of baptism, our sin, the death that we were going towards, that separation from God, the past person who we used to be, all of that is left down in those waters of baptism. And we come back up resurrected with Christ. That was one of the verses I used on Sunday. We are resurrected with him. Our sin is gone. We are new creations. We are born again. Not that baptism saves us. It's a symbolism of the inward change that's happened. It's this outward expression of the inward change, telling the whole world, I am a brand new person and I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah. Baptism to me has almost always been about choosing sides and saying, I have chosen a side. I am no longer sitting on the fence. I've decided who I'm living for and whose I am. And that whole question of who are you? And we're just declaring publicly, this is my answer to that question.
Yeah.
I know whose I am. I know who I am and whose side I'm on. It is, and there is a spiritual element to baptism because it does declare to everyone, earthly and spiritual, I'm on Team Jesus. Yeah. I'm on God's side and I have decided to follow him. And it's very hard to ignore what is happening in baptism. It's, you know why you're getting in the water. You know what's happening.
It's not an accident.
Even little kids can lock on to the idea. Yeah. Jesus did it. I'm doing it in obedience to him. Some of our little kids gave testimony to that before they got in the water. And I just love the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
The declaration of allegiance to God and following his way. It's just such a bold testimony. And I think everybody gets affected by it. One of the things that makes, and you can speak to what makes baptisms unique at Worcester NAS, well, one of the things about it is the way we celebrate.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a little bit of a picture of what's happening in heaven when somebody comes to faith. We get to celebrate after the fact, but it is really, really cool to participate in that.
I love that it's integrated. You know, we talk about worship being a lifestyle around here a lot, and like we are singing as we're doing it. So we're worshiping that way where people are worshiping the Lord by surrendering their whole lives, going underneath those waters of baptism. People are worshiping by just praising God for their kid or their family member getting baptized. Like the whole thing is just wrapped in this worship and this, everything is pointing to God and saying, this is all because of you. And to celebrate that all together, it's really powerful.
Yeah. And I do think there's a spiritual element to that celebration. There are some things in this Christian life that are worth taking joy in.
Yeah.
And if we don't take joy in this, what else are we taking joy in?
Yeah.
Seeing somebody cross from death to life, from darkness to light, that is worth getting a little bit
absolutely
excited about. Yeah. So at Worcester NAS, if you've been here, we stand, we cheer, we clap, we carry on as soon as people come up out of the water, and all of our children are there to celebrate with us. And it is that family moment of welcome to the family, welcome to the family of God. And, there is a a grace and a spiritual element on that moment. And if you haven't been baptized and you are following Jesus and he's the king of your life, why? What are you waiting for?
Sign
How long should somebody wait to be baptized?
not long. Soon as possible.
Right.
Just go for it.
And that's usually what I tell people. The very next baptism after you believe, you should be signing up as soon as possible. It doesn't take tons of understanding. For some people, it's like, well, I got to gather my family and friends. That part is important. Bring them along with you.
Yeah.
But that would be the only reason I would see of waiting at all.
Just go for it.
Other people around you, but just go for it. It's so good.
Yeah.
And one of the best things to participate in as a pastor. I just enjoy it.
I love
so
it.
Much.
Yeah.
You just lastly, as we wrap up, you gave a couple testimonies at the end, right before your call, of people that had experienced that light to darkness moment. Anything that got left on the cutting room floor, anything that you wanted to share deeper there?
Yeah, just briefly about my father-in-law. You know, 10 years ago in 2015, we had moved into a new house before we came back home. And this would have been May of 2015. And the day that we were moving into our house, my father-in-law had kind of this whole episode and was in the hospital in a really deep, dark place and had just years and years of so many things going on in his life, just total separation from God. But after coming out of that time, he got saved, he got radically transformed and became a brand new person, like totally changed. Like, I can't tell you all the stories because we don't have time, but I just remember having this moment when my wife, Sam, was pregnant with Emery. So this would have been like 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago. And we were doing the gender reveal and he couldn't come down from Warren area. So he was on the Zoom call or whatever, FaceTime. And he would not let us off the phone call until he prayed over Sam after we did this gender reveal. And that, I was like, that just shocked me because prayer wasn't even any part of who he was like 6 years before that. And now he wouldn't let us go before he prayed over us and invited the Holy Spirit to move and all these things. And it was just so radically different, completely transformed and continuing to grow. Like as he's sitting there on the row Sunday morning, he's back home leading Bible studies, involved in Bible studies, just a completely different person from who he used to be. And yes, he still has things he needs to grow into. We all do. Like there's things in his past for forgiveness and things, relationships that need restored. All these things are still happening in the context of his life. But God took him from a very clear not walking with him at all to completely transforming him into a brand new person. So when you witness that in your own life and your own family, it's impossible to deny that God is real and that he's working in our world today.
Right. We believe loving God, loving people and living transformed. It's not that he's just somehow arrived because his life has changed dramatically. He's living out that transformation.
Yep.
And on that journey that we say from here to heaven. And we don't get done with that, but it is so fulfilling to watch God work in someone's life, doing something that I don't have the power to do. You don't have the power to do that. Only he can do those types of things. And that's another thing that I always think about with baptism and salvation, just the unbelievable, overwhelming grace of God to do what we cannot.
Yeah.
On our behalf. So,
and just that reminder, I get emotional reading that Ephesians 2, like just the reminder that this gift has nothing to do with anything we ever do. We can't take any credit for it. It's only Jesus. Right. Our only position is surrender and saying, I'm turning away from my sin. I'm turning towards you. And just how can I not be in awe of who he is, that he would save me, that he would love me knowing all of my stuff. It's just incredible to think about.
Yeah. We're in the middle of the blessing season and not quite in the middle, towards the beginning of the blessing season, but we're savoring each moment.
Thank you, Pastor.
I can't think of any better way to kick off the blessing season than with baptism. It has become one of my favorite rhythms of Worcester Naz.
Great.
And it's something that we just started the last couple of years, having baptism that Sunday after Thanksgiving. But it is just the beginning of the blessing season, and we get to savor it all the way through to Christmas. And it's just a a wonderful time at Worcester Naz. So if you can get here on a Sunday morning or night of worship or something like that between now and Christmas or New Year's, do it. It's going to be awesome. This Sunday, I think we have kids. The kids are helping lead us in worship this Sunday.
It's going to be great. I love the intergenerational part of that service, just all of us being together. The kids leading us, but all of us worshiping together. It's going to be awesome.
And I think about it because they were sitting on the stairs last week watching baptism. And this Sunday, they're going to be standing on the stairs leading us in worship. Yeah,
so good.
Just the family elements of that are happening at Worcester Naz. It's a great place to be. It's a great season to be here. Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
The way you led us on Sunday, really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today.
Definitely. And as we say often around here, there's always more to come.
More to come.
The blessing season, more to come. Sunday's going to be great. We know the Lord has more in store for this place and the people here. So it's been great.
Well, thank you all for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.